Hello, welcome back, everybody. I'm Daniel with the Christians on Campus, and we have been covering a series titled The Common Faith for our Bible studies. Eight items of the common faith, and we come to our last one. The final point we will cover for this series on the common faith is Christ coming again. Christ is coming again to receive his believers to himself. We have seen that Christ has done everything to save us. His word reveals that he became a man just like you and me. He died on the cross for our sins and resurrected and became the life-giving spirit. Furthermore, in his ascension, we saw he was enthroned to be Lord of all. By repenting and believing in this one, we receive him, who is our God, as our life. This divine life is our new life. What a salvation! As a Christian, what is our attitude toward the return of our precious Savior? 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, "For you yourselves know perfectly well that like a thief in the night, so the day of the Lord comes." On the one hand, this means that his coming will be at a time when no one expects it, especially at a time when some are sleeping. On the other hand, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, just a few verses later, says, "So then let us not sleep, as the rest do, but let us watch and be sober." What does all this mean? This watching is our loving him and our preparing to meet him. It is so good that we can do this together. We can prepare to meet our dear Lord by getting our whole being filled with him. Let's look at this in more detail. Again, our topic for item 8 is Christ coming again to receive his believers to himself. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. That's where we'll spend most of our time today. In chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath which is coming." And chapter 2, verse 19, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Are not even you?" Then 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." It seems that everything he's doing has this view that he is coming back. And so what he is doing now is toward that. Let's look at a little bit longer passage from chapter 4, verses 14 through 18, and a little later we'll come back and also read 13. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so also those who have fallen asleep through Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are living, who are left remaining unto the coming of the Lord, shall by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. Because the Lord himself, with a shout of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are living, who are left remaining, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will be always with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Wonderful. Let's look at chapter 5, verse 23. "And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've read quite a few verses now from 1 Thessalonians. Do you notice something in common among these verses? Every chapter of 1 Thessalonians ends with the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming is his presence with us. The Greek word rendered coming in verse 19 of chapter 2 is parousia, a word that means presence. How do you see Christ's second coming as being his presence? Well, let's turn for the moment and look at the hopeless situation due to man's fall. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verse 12, that you were at that time apart from Christ, that's before you believed, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Because of man's fall, there is no hope for the fallen human race. In Ephesians 2:12, Paul describes the hopeless situation of unbelievers. Because they are apart from Christ and their living is without God, they do not have any hope. So let's go back to chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians and read that verse 13 that we said we would. But we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are sleeping. That means those who have died, that you would not grieve, even as also the rest who have no hope. So why would unbelievers grieve concerning those who die? And why would they be hopeless? Just consider that. Well, it's because they did not receive Christ. They did not believe in his death and resurrection, particularly. We'll see a little bit more now by looking at the hope of the Christian life. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, we'll read it again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so also those who have fallen asleep through Jesus, God will bring with him. That God will bring the believers with Jesus Christ at his second coming means that they will be raptured. Therefore, the believers do not grieve because of death and are not hopeless, because they will always be with the Lord. To be in the hope described here includes believing in the Lord's resurrection. Anyone who does not believe in Christ's resurrection will not believe in this hope. But if we believe in this hope, this indicates that we have already believed in Christ's resurrection. As those who believe in Christ, we have a life full of hope. Our hope is the Lord's coming back. Paul's intention is to give the new believers, which the Thessalonians were, give the new believers a basic concept of the hope of our Christian life. He wants to impress them with the fact that the Christian life, which is a holy life for the church life, has a hope. Therefore, this life is absolutely different from the hopeless life of fallen mankind. The hope of the Christian life is the Lord's coming back. And this hope includes resurrection and rapture. Let's talk about our preparing to meet the Lord by God's full salvation. We will read 1 Thessalonians 5:23 again. And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit, amen, and soul, amen, and body, amen, be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we conclude this item of our series on the common faith, let us read a little excerpt from a booklet published by Living Stream Ministry titled The Mystery of Human Life. I think it's the last page in the booklet. It says this: After regeneration, a believer needs to be baptized. We know this from Mark 16, 16, right? Then God begins the lifelong process of gradually spreading himself as life from the believer's spirit into his soul. This process, called transformation, requires human cooperation. The believer cooperates by allowing the Lord to spread into his soul until all his desires, thoughts, and decisions become one with those of Christ. So just imagine the innermost part of our being is just as if I was making a diagram here, a circle, which is our spirit. And outside of the circle, that circle, is a bigger circle, which is our soul. And so what's in our spirit, the life of God, now needs to spread to the outer circle of our soul. But then there's a bigger outer circle, which is our body. Okay, so I'll continue here. Finally, at Christ's return, God will fully saturate the believer's body with his life. This is called glorification. Thus, instead of being empty and damaged in each part, this man is filled and saturated with the life of God. This is God's full salvation. Such a man expresses God and fulfills God's plan. Wonderful excerpt. I recommend that entire booklet. So, as we finish, I will leave you with this question and even bring it to the Lord in prayer. How can we allow the Lord to spread in all our being? Dear Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you that you came and died for us, and you resurrected to come and live inside of us. We simply believe in you, and we do love you, and we are looking to your coming. We want to meet you. We want to see you face to face. Dear Lord, we'd like to render our cooperation to you for your spreading in our being, that we might be ready, that we might be prepared, that we might be preserved complete at your coming. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you.